underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Well, hello, Mr. Fancy Pants. I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I can use Kung Fu for about 3 months.
Because if this one doesn't scare you, you're already dead. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Chartreuse! The only liquor so good they need the color after it.
I'm telling you straight. It's my way or the highway. So anybody wants to walk, do it now.
You kids shouldn't play so rough. Somebody's gonna start crying.
We've got entirely too many troublemakers here.
They use the satanic power of their bodies to turn men and women into their bloodstains.
I will never forgive your ass for this shit. This is some fucked up Republican shit.
Bruce Lee is gone. From the gates of hell, they have finally come.
Never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Oh, my poor darling. Can you forgive me for having brought you to this terrible place?
Of course, Mom.
Are you gonna bark all day, little doggy? Or are you gonna bite?
Disco, Dana. Come on, disco. You want to disco?
No, I'm still in shock over this movie.
Well, I'm trying to remember what we watched.
Before this?
Last weekend. We watched...
You need to start writing this stuff.
I know. Well, we did watch Town at Dreaded Sundown, the remake, which
is actually a sequel.
Well, really, it's a sequel to the events, not the movie.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Which, and I'll say it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a piece of shit. I really did.
Well, they count it. I mean, they really...
Well, they led you to believe, or I thought they led you to believe that it was going to be a remake. Everybody thought it was going to be a remake.
Well, I heard it wasn't going to be a remake.
Oh, well,
but
most everybody thought it was going to be a remake. And then I actually started watching, and I was like, this isn't too bad. And it's a sequel to, like Steve said, the events, basically, surrounding that, I guess, legend or whatever.
Well, no, the murders in Texarkana in 1947.
Well, they really did happen, but I mean, there probably were some legends that popped up.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of embellished a little bit on the...
But every October, which we found out, they show Town at Dread Sundown in Texarkana. And at this particular one, a couple leaves and they get attacked by the guy dressed up like the Phantom Killer.
Only he's a little bit more stylish, I think.
And he actually talks.
Yeah.
I think he kills the guy, and then the girl gets left alive, and then basically she starts looking into all the murders and stuff that happened in the past. The main characters, a couple of them are like, I guess you would say, teenagers.
Yeah, but they're not these dumbass teenagers that I've seen in a lot of other movies.
And they're not, and then also there's not there's still other characters that are adults and stuff like that going on. And no, I don't think nobody's really stupid in this movie. It's like some of the other ones, you know, like really just dumb.
Or, you know how sometimes they try to act so hip and with it? This didn't seem like that. It seemed kind of retro to me.
I mean, it was low budget, but it had, what's his name? Gary Cole.
Oh, Gary Cole. Yeah.
And it looked really good. I mean, I'm not going to say it's anything like a classic or anything like that.
No,
it's above average.
It was worth watching.
Yes, it was above average. I don't know if I could say there's a lot of gore in it. I think there's one or two shots.
There's one, big sex scene. I won't give it away, but just wait for that, especially if you're a guy. You'll enjoy that.
But, yeah, I mean, I like that.
Although I asked Steve, I don't know what that Pierce guy, if he was still alive, would think of that.
Charles Pierce. They also have a character called Charles Pierce Jr., and he's, like, living in a trailer, and he's obsessed with the movie and stuff like that. And that was some dude. He plays on American Horror Story, which it's kind of strange that he's playing someone's son. And I'm sure that guy had some kids. Maybe they said it was okay, or maybe they just didn't care. But
and
it
does
strange.
Have, I'm not going to give it away, but it does have a decent twist in it.
Yeah, I mean, too. It's different, or not that different, but it's interesting. I can't think else what we watched. I watched The Mummy off the Universal Blu-ray set. It looked really good.
Weren't you watching like a documentary thing?
Well, also, it wasn't on that set, but off the DVD of the Mummy Legacy thing that just has the mummy on it. Had a documentary about Universal Horror all the way back from the silent era up to the modern, or to the, you know, the classic Universal Monsters, which was always like watching that. I always liked documentaries in general, but that one was really cool. I discovered it on, like, late night one time when I was working at Fort Knox, and it was on. I was like, this is awesome. So I taped it.
Steve had to do something all those nights he was at Fort Knox to stay awake, probably.
I can't think of anything else I watched this weekend. We watched Nightbreed, the director's cut. What do you think about that?
I thought it was interesting. It's worth a watch. I think it's worth picking up if you can.
You didn't see the ending, did you?
Yeah, I did see the ending.
Do you like that ending better or the original?
I can't remember the original ending.
Well, I'll have to tell you.
I thought the ending for the director's cut was kind of like fantasy-like.
Well, it let it open to be another movie, mm-hmm. kind of. Or, yeah. I mean, maybe it didn't. Maybe it just seemed that way. But I know the comic book was around for a little while. I got the Hellraiser versus the Nightbreed, which is kind of cool.
Well, that's interesting.
I still got it if you want to read it.
I might have to get around to reading
it. They put in a lot more, and he also took some stuff out and reordered things.
Mm-hmm.
It was, especially at the beginning, you could notice a lot of the extra scenes, more character development between Boone and his girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And at the
which
end,
I think that's good, because I think that was a strong point.
She makes
to the
some
whole
fucking
film.
Faces when she's singing, though.
Yeah,
oh my god, she was making like the awfulest faces.
But was she trying to be kind of retro with her singing? Because it seemed almost like a 50s,
I don't know,
mixed with, like a 50s girl band or something.
It was Canada, so it is Canada, so I don't know. But the ending also has a lot of extra footage and completely different take on the ending, so I kind of like both of them, but this is more of a complete picture. I haven't dug into the end of the extras yet.
Mm-hmm. We'll have to do that.
I got mine for $15 because I ordered it and got a $15 thing off through PayPal, so $16 I think I paid for total.
Which isn't bad.
No, it's better than that $30 or whatever it was going to be.
I can talk about what I watched the last couple of nights. Steve didn't watch it with me. He wants me to hold the phone.
Hold the phone!
I did watch because I heard, I think it was Wes that was talking about how good The Blob looked in HD, The Blob remake, rather. So I thought I would tune in and watch that. And it does. It's one of the best looking transfers I've seen in a while. So I highly recommend that if you can.
Highly.
Either get a hold of a copy of it, or if you know somebody that's got it on Vudu and you got access to their Vudu.
Or Twilight Time that came out, but
yeah, but
I'd probably be cheaper on Vudu.
Yeah, definitely be cheaper on Voodoo, I think. And then I got in, and I can hear people laughing now. Steve will laugh for them. He'll make that auditory thing. So you can hear. Especially Wes Vance is going to be laughing at me because he hates this movie. But from Shout Factory or Scream Factory, whatever you want to call it, I got The Final Terror in with Daryl Hannah and Adrian Zemed and Rachel Ward and Joey Pants. They even called him Joey Pants on the extras. I can't even pronounce his last
name. Patty Lionel or something like that.
Yeah. But anyway, people probably know when I say Joey Pants who that is. But I really like this movie. I don't see what's wrong with it. I guess people think it's slow or there's not enough kills in it or so. I don't know. Or they think it's a Friday 13th ripoff. I mean, it was shelved for a while. It didn't come out for maybe a couple years or something like that. It was re-edited. And I can't remember the guy, this is awful, I can't remember the guy's name that re-edited it. But they re-edited it and then put it back out, and they actually added this kill that happens at the beginning with a couple that's on a motorcycle, just so they could have more kills on it. Steve's looking at Leprechaun movies. But the transfer, it does say at the beginning that they had to use, I think, a combination of elements to put this out. And what was funny, when I read that at the beginning, it seemed like something Code Red always does. They say that I'm not putting down Shout Factory or anything. They probably really did have to get several different film elements. But Code Red always does this. They say they've been destroyed or something like that. The original negatives were destroyed or whatever. And so that disclaimer at the beginning of the movie just made me laugh. But the transfer does look really good. There's commentary with the director. There's some interviews with Adrian Zemed and I forget the guy's name, but he played Boone on the movie. And there's also interviews with the lady that did the music and the guy that edited it for him. So.
Nice.
A pretty good package, and Steve's want me to quit talking about it. But I definitely think it's worth a pickup. I don't think it's a boring movie. I don't think it's a slow movie in any way. I think it's really interesting. It's interesting to know that a lot of these people went on to bigger films. And I guess that's all I'm going to say about it. So I'll hand Steve phone back. I'm sorry, I just ate.
But I watched one while Dana was gone. It was the new Ben Affleck movie, Gone Girl. What's his name, David Fincher?
Is that the guy that did Seven?
Yeah, directed it. And you think it starts off where...
I heard conflicting things.
Well, it's a long movie. It's 2.5 hours, but it doesn't really seem that long when you watch it. But there's a... Ben Affleck comes home and sees a coffee table kind of tore up and his wife's missing, and they start doing a search for her, and basically, everybody starts assuming he killed her because there was, like, blood everywhere. Blood was cleaned up in there.
His DNA around there?
I don't know about that, but they found a bunch of, that he upped their life insurance and all this stuff, but... It's pretty interesting because it's an unpredictable story, and I won't give anything away. But, it surprised me. There's a few comedic things going on in here, but, overall, I liked it.
It's based on a book,
Yeah. But, I think it was decent, and it makes me want to check out that Zodiac movie again, even though I know it's freaking long, too. But
did he do that one, too?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
I really like Seven. I need to go back and watch Seven.
Seven's okay, but, I've seen it a few times, and after a while, it doesn't really do anything for me. But I guess that brings us to today. I can't think of anything else. But we finished watching a new VHS movie called VHS Viral. Mm-hmm. What's your one-word the review, Dana?
Confusing.
Well, that's better than what I had.
Shitty.
Yeah, this is total garbage. I mean, I cannot. I mean, there were sparks of stuff in there. The wraparound story doesn't make any sense at all. I mean,
I'm still trying to figure out the wraparound.
The guy, I mean, there's a police chase or something, and the guy and his girlfriend go out, and somehow his girlfriend gets caught up, like hypnotized. The next thing you know, she's in this ice cream truck that's doing the police chase, and then he's following it on a bicycle, and
which is stupid.
And I don't understand what's going on here, because then this is all high def video, and all of a sudden it flipped. It's like it's doing tracking and like VHS, and it goes to these three different stories.
They should have really filmed it like on a VHS tape.
Well,
is what
they should have done. Maybe a version of it like that. Then, but anyway, but the first story is about a magician who has this magic cape, and he's doing all his tricks with the cape. But the cape has to have, I guess, sacrifices. So he ends up killing all his assistants with the cape.
That was a pretty decent story.
I mean, that as far as everything's concerned, I would have to think that's the best one. Mm-hmm. But the second one, I think, was directed by that guy who did that Extraterrestrial. That was another movie we forgot to talk about. But he did like time.
Do we have to talk about it?
He did like time crimes and stuff like that. It's this guy, and it's in Spanish, so there's subtitles, and he's got this door. He's creating some kind of gateway in his house.
To another dimension?
Yeah, to another universe, and then he opens it up, and there's an exact duplicate of his room, and then there's another him, and they decide they'll switch universes for a couple minutes, so he goes in his, and they go in the other, and the one guy from our universe starts discovering there's some weird shit going on in theirs. And
yeah, some kind of witchcraft.
Yeah, but I won't go into any more detail. And then the last one is about a bunch of skater dudes who want to go down and skate in Tijuana. So they go down there, and they start skating, and all of a sudden these occultists with painted faces start appearing in this area, and then they start fighting them, and then they turn into skeletons faces, and I mean,
well, what was the one where it was like they were making a girl like touch herself and things like that?
That was the wraparound story.
Oh, it was?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it didn't
make. Well, what was that? I mean, I don't even know what that was.
She was getting back at the guy, but, you know, whatever. Okay. I don't know. It didn't make any sense either. I mean, the last story before the wraparound story concludes was pretty, it had some cool effects, and it was a little bit more, I guess, lively than the second one to a degree. I don't know. It was, I would say the first, the second one wasn't that good, even though I know the director is decent, but,
I think they should have did one VHS movie and that's it.
I think they would. Well, everything now is about franchises and milking it. I mean, I can understand what they're trying to do. They're trying to, you know, have different directors come in and do different little short movies for an anthology. But this isn't working.
This
little gimmick of VHS is not working, because this isn't VHS. The first one had the closest to VHS, and then the second one had one great story about the I guess this cult and stuff like that. The rest of them were nothing good at all. And I don't even think the first one had that many good stories. Maybe one, it had, I guess, an average of, it was better than all the rest as far as the number of stories that were at least somewhat entertaining. But this last one, it's just running into the ground.
It's like the ABCs of Death. You don't need to make any more of those either.
I know, and that movie is 2 hours long. It takes a long time to get 26 letters in, and it's brutal. I mean, it's brutal. And I mean, I haven't watched all the ABCs of Death 2.
You could have Survivor Series with the ABCs of Death to see if you could get through the entire alphabet.
I don't know, but going back to the movie that we forgot to mention was Extraterrestrial by the director of Time Crimes. And
I've never seen Time Crimes.
Well, it's good for one watch. I mean, it's smarter. It's a smart movie, but, you know, I don't know. I'm not inclined to go revisit it, but it was, but it got better as it went along, but, I mean, some kids, young adults, 20-somethings go to a cabin and shit starts happening. It's aliens and...
I think people are trying to, like, get an Evil Dead feel for things now since the Evil Dead remake, because they have these people going to a cabin every time.
Well, that's standard. People have done that for years. I don't think it's just now, but it's...
I think it's part of that shitty Evil Dead.
But remake. To be honest with you, I couldn't believe some of the dialogue and all this stuff from this director. I don't know, he probably didn't write it, but if he did, I just think that they should have had some...
He was on drugs.
I don't know. This one is pretty bad. I mean, I just...
That one, the blonde chick on there, I hate it. She was the most annoying, obnoxious person. You know which one I'm talking about?
I don't know. Certain parts of it I wanted to like, but, you know, it had one of these endings, so it's supposed to be shocking and all this bullshit, and it was lame.
I didn't really like any of the people in it. They seemed so abrasive, all of them.
Well, it was just lame.
Oh, okay, we'll go with Steve's thing. It was lame.
I mean, I wanted to like it, but I just, in the end, couldn't do it, so... But anyway, we got stage fright in.
Steve did.
Yeah, so we'll be digging into that and.
This is Janus film.
Yeah, this is a Criterion movie.
Oh.
I just found it, so. But anyway, we'll be back after this. We'll be right back.
the mists of infinity, they come, rising from the cold, damp earth to take what is now theirs.
My God, the film's moving!
When the moon turns red, the dead shall rise and walk the earth. From the gates of hell, they have finally come. The gates of hell.
The shadows move. The wind howls. You run in terror and hide. A bloody hand rises to grab you, and with an axe you split apart. It was once human. Zah. One of 17 will be a bit.
Well, we had a version of Suspiria in HD. It was Dr. Saperstein.
Yeah, that guy that does all those
restorations and
fan edits or whatever you want to call them.
This one supposedly was put a bunch of the sound effects that were taken out back in and stuff. And I don't know, it seemed like it was a little overpowering to me.
I did too. I was waiting to see if Steve would say that or not.
But you know,
it almost was so overpowering that it just about took away from the other elements of the movie.
At some points, I thought they were even talking, and you couldn't even hear some dialogue, but, I mean, I can't remember exactly. And then we're eating, of course, but done.
Yeah, we were finishing up our supper. We had a late supper. Didn't you say that you believe that the other version was better quality?
Yeah, I mean, this is the fan edit, so, or, you know, it's not somebody, it's not, the other one was the Japanese Blu-ray. So that'll have to do until we actually get the Blu-ray from Synapsis, and they're putting that Tenebrae. And so we'll, hopefully next year or so, we should have some good versions of it.
And I think me and Steve are going to split it up. He's going to get one, and I'm going to get one. I'll probably get Tenebrae.
But we tried to watch Svengoolie's Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, which... I thought I would be able to stay awake for.
I thought he was too.
But I had a big day. I had to walk like 2.5 miles because I locked my keys in my car. And
Linnea had an accident in PetSmart.
Well, that wasn't a big deal, but I was just really tired. And then we went to the Chinese place and ate too much food. At least I did. And
Steve kind of ends up passing out when he eats
it. Yeah.
And he didn't even like overdo it or anything.
I think I did, but
well,
I mean,
you were trying not to.
I drank a caffeine drink and then a no-dose thing, and it still didn't matter. I mean, well, the thing was, when I went to lay down, I did watch Rob Zombie's Halloween 2.
And it all was, I can say is why.
I don't know why, but I've been wanting to see it. Like, I know Aaron wanted to see it again. But when you watch it,
Aaron gave up on it, and
you notice
Suspiria.
You notice so much shit that's wrong with that. They say fuck like a billion times, and here's what Laurie Strode staying with, you know, was Sheriff Brackett and Annie.
Why is she staying with them?
Well, she ain't got no ways to go, and she goes in her bathroom. Someone's took a spray. A can of black spray paint and sprayed stuff on the walls.
Uh-huh.
Now, who does? Nobody does that. That looks. Then there's a poster of Charles Manson on the wall, and right above it, someone spray painted Charlie. No one. What's that about? Why would a girl who got attacked by, you know, basically a serial killer, have that in her room?
Why would anybody with any sense have any Charles Manson? Like, it's one thing to read books on him, but to have posters and pictures and stuff.
I mean,
like,
you know why it is? Because freaking Rob Zombie likes it. And he thinks everybody else, that's not the case.
That's extreme, like.
Nobody does, nobody spray paints. Here's the thing with movies.
That's extreme white trash stuff.
Right. Well, to a degree, yeah, but what, you know, not even, I don't even say that, but the thing is, he doesn't understand that I didn't give two shits about Laurie Strode in this movie because I can understand someone being scared and say fuck.
Yeah.
Once or twice, three times a movie. But this bitch says it 50 times in like 2 seconds, going fuck, 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 fuck. No. And And she goes to the psychiatrist, and I mean, she don't, it's Margot Kidder, and then of course she
Margot Kidder's a psychiatrist.
Yeah, but okay, I mean, and then she goes to work, and it's some, it's exactly what you think it is, a Rob Zombie restaurant. She goes in there, and they play some shitty music, and they just like start. And then she's just been from the psychiatrist to here. And like she throws out all of the way. But when she's home, she's like, I can't stand, you know, she's all traumatized. Yeah. But quick as she gets to work, the traumatized stuff goes away.
And then she's acting like crazy woman.
Well, she's like party girl.
Yeah.
And it's just ridiculous.
But party girl was not. I know this isn't the original, but I mean, Laurie Strode's character was definitely the farthest thing from a party girl that you could get. She maybe said shit.
But yeah, and she smoked marijuana one time. Right? You know, in the car?
Oh, yeah, when her.
But I mean, here's the thing. Here's another. I mean, when you make a movie, you try to make it relatable. I'm not going to relate to some chick that's spray painting Charlie above Charles Manson.
and says fuck about five.
I mean, I say it a lot too, but not.
Not like that.
Not, this is like, and, they dress like a freaking weirdo all the time, and goes to, and basically is just unlikable, unrelatable. You look at the original with Jamie Lee Curtis and all that. You could relate to her. She's just, you could say she's
a babysitter.
And well, you could relate to her, and then more importantly, you can like her and you care about her.
She was a normal teenager.
Right. These, I mean, I don't know what Rob Zombie thinks teenagers are today, but I can guarantee you most of them are not like Scout Taylor Compton in this movie.
I think. It's almost like it's a Rob Zombie video.
It's a Rob Zombie universe.
Yeah,
a
Rob Zombie universe.
I mean, all we'd be doing is listening to old punk records and dressing in fur jackets and then saying fuck.
That off-the-wall stuff is okay for House of a Thousand Corpses, Devil's Rejects, because that stuff... It's just crazy.
Because we got our people that we relate to when they come and visit those two couples.
Mm-hmm.
To a degree, because they are kind of annoying. But
kind of. But
everything else, even that, was more relatable. But, I mean, nobody lives in a... The best person in this movie was Brad Dourif. He's the one that seemed, I mean, the most relatable. He cared. I cared about, you know, kind of cared about his character, and it's a shame that he was in this with all these other people who, I mean, I guess I wouldn't say it's their acting's bad. It's just the story's bad, the dialogue's bad, and I was, you know, at the end of it, I don't even know if I was more shell shocked seeing the first one, because I was just shell shocked like everybody else when you left. It was no, I mean, when you see the original one, and you stop watching it, you know, you still got that song in your head, and Michael's missing, and they're looking for him, and all this. Mm-hmm. You're not shell shocked because you went through hell, in this kind of way. I mean, I don't know. I'm just done.
I can't even remember a lot of stuff from the first Rob Zombie Halloween.
Oh, I remember it.
And did Danielle Harris's character of Annie or whatever, whoever she played, did she die?
No, she died in the second one.
Okay.
She got kind of attacked, and she was laying in the floor with her tits out and blood all over her.
I do remember that, but I couldn't remember if she... Because I've watched that all of... one time, and I'd refuse to watch the second one.
And the second one, you have no clue what's going on at the end. They give some vague quote about a white horse.
Yeah, nobody understands that white horse stuff.
And...
or why it's in there.
And, I mean, I don't know. I'm not even going to talk about it no more. But it was just shitty. what the fuck that I watched today.
You were watching that.
Watched Dracula on the Blu-ray set.
Yeah, but did you watch all of that? Like,
oh, yeah, I watched the Toho Pictures. From Japan made like a vampire trilogy. I don't know if they're really associated with each other, but it was called Vampire Doll. And basically this guy was going to see this girl he had met somewhere, I guess, and he went to her house out in the middle of nowhere, and when he came in there, they basically said that she had died in a car wreck a week or so earlier. And he goes out to her grave at some point, and then he sees her standing there, and he can't believe it, so he's hugging on her and stuff, and of course she raises up and her eyes are kind of yellowish, and then she stabs him with a knife. I mean, these vampires apparently don't bite you, at least.
Do they have teeth?
No.
Okay.
Well, the whole story was that she was hypnotized before she died. And I don't know, I guess if you're hypnotized before you die, you turn into a vampire. Huh. But anyway, the guy's dead somewhere around this property, and then the guy's sister comes with a friend of hers, and they look for it, and they kind of find out a bunch of stuff. It's decent. It magically makes 70 minutes seem like 3 hours at some points, because it's very hard to sit there but there are two more. One's called Evil of Dracula, and one's called Lake of Dracula. I remember seeing Lake of Dracula on like a TV movie thing in the afternoon.
I'm sorry, but that chick looked kind of like Wes's girlfriend.
Yeah. But,
sorry.
But, you know, so it's kind of strange. Back in the day, you would actually see stuff like this on television. But anyway, I watched that. And then I did watch the Dracula Blu-ray again. I did pass out.
Steve, I think, was still tired from his ordeal yesterday, so.
And I love, you know, where you pass out on a weekend afternoon, and then you wake up and you're still on the weekend. But anyway.
Well, yeah, but I get mad at myself because I've wasted
time. Well, as long as it's not too long, not 3 hours. But finished up this weekend's viewing with Devil's Reign. I've been wanting to see that for a while, and the special effects and everything are awesome. They used to show this on TV all the time as well.
Devil's Reign's creepy.
Well, it was made by the same company that made Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Bryanston.
Yeah, Bryanston Pictures.
So I wonder how.
I'm
wondering if this has got mob money in it, but
probably.
I mean, it's Ernest Borgnine is either. He's a really good actor, and or he's having a hell of a fun time doing this because he's playing a bad guy. He's wearing like the goat makeup, which is freaking awesome looking.
Yeah.
And then you also got the melding people. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff going on. He's got the Devil's Ring, which is basically this big vase looking thing with a ram head in gold on it. And it's pretty cool because I was thinking how they get, it's basically just a television inside there playing people in rain.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very cool effect. Now I always thought, since I saw this on television as a kid, I always thought it was a TV movie, but you know, I learned later on, it's not.
They say some, you know, words that wouldn't be in a TV.
I don't even remember, but
Shatner did, I know.
Well, he said goddamn or something, but
yeah, but that wouldn't be on TV.
No, well, every once in a while, but and of course, there, you know, it's probably famous for John Travolta. I don't know if it was his first movie or not, but he's in it in the background.
Tom Skerritt,
William Shatner, Ernest Borgnine again, which he's kind of like he did the evil thing in that, what's that, the Deadly Blessing movie as well. Mm-hmm. So, but
I think he must have had fun doing those types of things because he didn't ever act like he was just there for a paycheck.
Well, it's either that or he's just a really good professional actor.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So, I mean, I like that movie. Every couple years is good to. I don't think I can watch it any more than that. But the Devil's Reign was fun. And of course now I'm, you know, as it gets closer to Halloween, I'm panicking to fit movies in.
Well,
and plus I got a whole Friday, or most of Friday off.
I don't.
But I'm gonna try to watch some stuff, more stuff tomorrow, but, that is it. The next time you hear should probably be, probably have some audio from the drive-in, hopefully. I want to double check and make sure it's still showing the movies.
Yeah.
Evil Dead on, is that on, that's on 32 millimeter or 16? I think it's on 32, and then the,
35
rather, and then, they're showing Night of Living Dead and City of the Living Dead on 16 millimeter. Which I don't know about.
No, but I just think that's going to be fun to see.
Long as it's still going on, I mean, you never know. But but I think it'll be fun. Hopefully, I'll be able to stay awake on the way home.
I hope so. We better bring a bunch of energy during.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think it'll be all right.
Well, I worry about Steve because that one time when we were coming home from Indianapolis, I think it was from Harham.
Yeah.
Oh, I finally made Steve pull into a gas station and get him something to drink. I think he got him a Coke or something.
But we'll be all right. I'll be awake. So I guess let's say Happy Halloween because we won't be around. This show is going up before the next show will be up after that.
Yeah, we hope everybody has a Happy Halloween and don't be mean. Have some candy for the trick or treaters and. All that. Don't be like Steve used to be.
Well,
Steve wasn't mean. He just didn't make an active effort to have candy out there.
But I always like to revisit my youth when Halloween comes around. So I watch all the old Universal stuff, and so.
And Steve carved a pumpkin this year.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to recarve it a little bit tomorrow. But we'll see. So later.
Bye.
You're doing me if you stay here.
It's close to midnight, and something evil's lurking in that dark. Under the moonlight, you see a sight that almost stops your heart. Close your eyes and hope that this is just imagination, yeah. When all the while you hear the creature coming up behind, you're out of time. Yeah, this is thriller night, and you don't stand a chance against the beast about to strike. Thriller. Life inside the killer thriller tonight, yeah. You hear the door slam and realize there's nowhere left to run. You feel the cold hand and wonder if you'll ever see the sun. Start to scream, but terror takes the sound before you make it, yeah. You start to freeze as horror looks you right between the eyes. You're out of time, yeah, this is thriller night. And you don't stand a chance against the beast with 40 eyes. Thriller. Life inside the killer thriller tonight. Night creatures crawl and the dead start to walk in their masquerade. There's no escape in the jaws of the aliens this time. This is the end of your life. Thank you. to get you. This demon's closing in on every side. They will possess you unless you change the number on the dial. Now is the time for you and I to cuddle close together, yeah. All through the night, I'll save you from the terrors on the screen. I'll make you sing, yeah. This is Thriller night. And I could thrill you more than any ghost would dare to try. Thriller, ooh, Thriller night. You're fighting for your life inside that killer dinner.